Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Charles Cook of National Review Online in for Jim Garrity today. And Charles, obviously the big event at the Republican National Convention is tonight. Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee, but he's got a couple of very tough acts to follow when it comes to the lineup that we saw on Wednesday. We're actually going to have two good martinis today and then one bad martini. The good martini, I think most conservatives would agree, Charles, is the Paul Ryan speech. He started off a little bit nervous, a couple halting sentences here and there, but the content of the speech was fantastic. We're going to go through three clips here just to kind of get a glimpse of what he had to say about some of the most important issues. Here's Ryan, first of all, talking about the Obama opinion of the small business owner and really putting that issue into a good perspective.
These didn't come out of nowhere. A lot of heart goes into each one. And if small business people say they made it on their own, all they're saying is that nobody else worked 7 days a week in their place. Nobody showed up in their place to open the door at 5 in the morning. Nobody did their thinking and worrying and sweating for them. After all that work, and in a bad economy, it sure doesn't help to hear from their president that government gets the credit. What they deserve to hear is the truth. Yes, you did build that!
And here's what he had to say about why he thinks Republicans can make Medicare a winning issue and how he plans to go on the offensive.
So our opponents can consider themselves on notice. In this election, on this issue, the usual posturing on the left isn't going to work. Mitt Romney and I know the difference between protecting a program and raiding it. Ladies and gentlemen, our nation needs this debate. We want this debate. We will win this debate.
And Charles had some of the best speechwriting, I think, this line about young people getting out of college but having no place to go.
College graduates should not have to live out their 20s in their childhood bedrooms, staring up at fading Obama posters and wondering when they can move out and get going with life.
So a lot to digest there. What did you take away most of all from the Ryan speech?
Well, firstly, that last line was one of the best lines in modern speech writing, certainly in the last 4 years I've heard. And it's so good, you can tell that it's so good that the BBC has it on their front page this morning, hardly a pro-Republican news organization.
Right.
It's taken one by one. The first clip you played, this is, of course, anecdotal, but take someone like my mother, who's not particularly political and would be a moderate. Certainly in America, she would be an independent voter. That line about not spending 7 days in the office, you know, not expending the blood, sweat and tears, it not being the government, it being the individual. I think that would win people like her over, because she did watch my dad build a business, and I think it would anger her what the president said about not building that. And Republicans have obviously got focus group data and just general instinct that this is a winner. And Paul Ryan, I think it's become a little hackneyed at the convention yesterday. You could play a drinking game with it, really. Every time they say you didn't build that, his was delivered perfectly, and it was perfectly in context. And I think it underscores his message. The Medicare thing, Democrats are beginning to realize that they are now on defense when it comes to Medicare. There is a difference here, I think, in principle. Medicare is a system which says, okay, you're old. You perhaps can't work, or perhaps you're more infirm than you were. We will provide for you. Obamacare and other programs say we should look after everyone at all times. And those are different principles. And what Paul Ryan is saying is we shouldn't take out of this principle that we look after the elderly in order to pay for a general program. And that's been quite well articulated. And I think that as well is a winning message. In terms of the last one, what a great idea. Everyone, I wasn't, but everyone seemed to be excited about Obama at the time, this new guy. And really, there's no point being excited about him if they're unemployed and living with their parents.
We have seen the numbers. Those can't lie, no matter how much the administration tries to spin them. The president still seems to enjoy majority support among them, but those numbers are not nearly as enthusiastic as they were 4 years ago, as you mentioned. One of the other things that happened, and this is the one bad martini today, and it's not on Paul Ryan's part, but one of the things that's happened in recent years, of course, as you know, Charles, is the fact-checking business, PolitiFact and some of these other factcheck.org. They're largely liberal organizations who look for any way to pretty much make the case that Republicans are lying at any given time. And so the big issue here on Thursday is this statement from Paul Ryan's speech regarding a General Motors plant that went south in Janesville, Wisconsin.
When he talked about change, many people liked the sound of it, especially in Janesville, where we were about to lose a major factory. A lot of guys I went to high school with worked at that GM plant. Right there at that plant, candidate Obama said, "I believe that if our government is there to support you, this plant will be here for another 100 years. That's what he said in 2008. Well, as it turned out, that plant didn't last another year.
Pants on fire, says PolitiFact. A big lie all the way across the board. Liberals across America and the world retweeting that. The only problem is it's not true. They both have their own narratives here, but only one is true, Charles. They did suspend SUV production in December of 2008, and they continued to put together some Isuzu vehicles until June of 2009, although everyone knew that the plant was going to be closing by then. But the point is that the plant hadn't closed yet, and the point is also that Obama promised that a plant, which I think had already been scheduled for closure by the time he made his statement, that he planned to have a robust interaction between government and the automakers that would keep it open and get it back open. So no matter which way you spin it, Paul Ryan is vindicated here, I think.
He is. The basic point was that President Obama promises things that he can't deliver and is all too quick to present himself as a savior. And in that regard, he's absolutely right. He's also right on the fact that the thing is with fact-checking organizations is that, you know, in the 1960s and 70s, if Walter Cronkite said something on television, people perceived that to be true. Now, they don't now, both because media is diversified and also because there's a lot more of it. And so how do you break through that and get people to point to you as the arbiter of truth? Well, you put the word fact checker in your name. Unfortunately, I don't think PolitiFact and anyone like them are fact checkers at all. They come to these incredibly almost Jesuitical, tortured conclusions at the end where they say true but almost not true with a touch of falsity. You know, the worst thing I think about and poor Ryan didn't mention this, but the worst thing about what Obama said to those people, except that he was going to save them, was he said that they were worthwhile, and the bad news that they'd received was a shame because they made hybrid and fuel-efficient cars. And it just shows you the way the man thinks. He thinks these guys are worth saving, maybe. These jobs are worthwhile because they do something I approve of. But even though they did something he approved of, he couldn't save them anyway.
We'll find out how this issue plays out. But the facts are the facts. There's articles from the Janesville newspaper, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and elsewhere clearly stating that the plant was technically in operation till June of 2009.
Ryan
made it perfectly clear that the plant was obviously in trouble during the 2008 campaign, or else Obama never would have said that. So,
right, absolutely.
Just a ridiculous counterattack, just fizzling, hopefully, from the Democrats. On to our second good martini. We always love to have multiple good martinis. many people thought for about 10 minutes there, Charles, that Condi Rice may have upstaged Paul Ryan. Turns out Paul Ryan just absolutely knocked it out of the park. But Condi Rice surprised a lot of people. Some people thought that maybe this was just a token gesture to someone who's acceptable from the Bush administration to independence and so forth, and we'll give her a 15 minutes up on stage. Oh, no, this was not just marking time. Condi Rice all over on the issues when it comes to our role on the foreign stage, and also the education system being the new civil rights issue with people in poor neighborhoods being trapped in horrific schools. And then she had statements like this as well.
My fellow Americans, ours has never been a narrative of grievance and entitlement. We have never believed that I am doing poorly because you are doing well. We have never been jealous of one another and never envious of each other's successes.
And then she wrapped it up with a great anecdote about how anybody can rise in America from being in Jim Crow Birmingham to Secretary of State, which brought down the House. It's easy to see why there was some Condi Rice VP buzz a couple months ago.
And how she was incredible. I must admit to being surprised, I think, because I haven't really seen Condi Rice give a speech like that. The key to the speech, aside from the foreign policy stuff, to me, was exactly what you just said and what you played. There is a narrative among Democrats that we are all flotsam and jetsam, subject to the vicissitudes of life, and that it is largely random. And we therefore need government like Julia does to help us at each stage and cost us. I don't believe that. That's why I'm a conservative. And of all the people yesterday, of course, Paul Ryan did fantastic, fantastic work on this. But of all the people yesterday, Condi Rice articulated that principle, I think, the best. And I think that's in part because she has had an amazing story. America does have a tragic history on race, and the circumstances in which she grew up were appalling. I mean, Jim Crow laws, segregation was appalling. But she's not somebody who said, well, this is how I grew up, therefore my life is forfeit. She's a remarkable and talented woman. She's a concert standard pianist. She was Secretary of State. She's an academic. And it's inspiring to watch. And I think we need more people like her, more speeches like that, to show children as well. She touched on education being a civil rights issue, to show children that, no, you can make it, and you can live out your dreams.
Yeah, it's been a good month for Condi. Very well-received speech, and she got into Augusta earlier in the month, so not too shabby. Charles, thanks so much for filling in for Jim today. Enjoy the rest of the convention. Charles Cook of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.